please stand to your feet as Brother Zach comes up for prayer requests.
Good afternoon. Good to see everyone in the house of the Lord. We got a prayer request from Brother Ryan. He says, I want to remind everyone of God's healing power. He manifested in my body. I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. I lost blood almost every day from 2013 to 2017. I lost a lot of weight and was anemic and very weak at times. I kept confessing my healing despite the symptoms, and by God's grace, I've been healed for 2 years now. Thank the Lord. Brother Matthew Bray says he'll be on a mission trip to Mexico this coming week. Remember that. Sister Esther says, remember Tony Templeton? He has battled cancer for years, caused from a bruise. He has fluid in lungs and now has blood clots. The doctors have given up on him. Please remember him. And here's another one from Sister Esther. Continue to remember Shirley Canada. She's declining quickly. And Brother Donnie is going to the emergency room in pain. And Brother Dick has back pain. And Sister Cindy Seegers has cancer. And I got one from Brother Sterling. He says co-workers, a family member committed suicide, and he wanted Sterling to ask the church to pray. So just remember all those in your prayers. All unspoken requests, please raise your hand. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for everything that you've done for us and constantly do for us daily. And I pray that you just answer these prayer requests, Lord. Please just heal all the sickness and everything that's wrong in these people's bodies, Lord God. I pray that you just answer their prayers, Lord, and all the unspoken requests. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated.
Let's turn to page 164 and sing Sweet Low Swing Chariot as Rachel's class comes up to sing.
You looked up at Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me.
For he healed the broken. the broken hearted, finding up their wounds. Instead, the blessed we reign.
Let's sing Nothing But the Blood on page 141 while Sister Monica and Brother Boyd's class comes up for their song.
Charge over me.
Now would Brother Boyd's class come up?
Perfect in all of your ways.
Brother Jonas and Brother Thomas come up and take the offering? Let's pray. Bless this offering, Lord, and use it for your glory. Strengthen Brother Dale and give him your message for us and help us to receive it. Amen. While they take the offering, let's sing When We All Get to Heaven on page 166. Come up for his testimony.
God bless y'all. I'm going to have the young people tell about their experiences at Louisiana Youth Camp this Easter weekend. This was, I guess it was, I was trying to think about it, 24 years ago. Was it 98? 21 years ago. 98, okay. 21, Easter. See, Richard remembers, I don't. We were just trying to remember how many years ago it was, but it's been quite a few. But had a wonderful time and got to see some of the brothers and sisters I hadn't seen in quite some time, and had a wonderful time, and Lord really moved. I believe it really touched some of the young people there, really moved in their lives. And I believe some of them received a new birth there and had quite a few testimonies. And everybody wants me to give my experiences. They just go out.
Is it still working?
Yeah. Okay. It's not like it just went out. But anyway, so I'm going to tell a little bit about my experiences later. But did want to say that the on the way down, Brother Matthew Bray got us a room in Mobile. So Levi told Levi he had two choices about going to Louisiana camp this year. He could go the easy way or the hard way. But he went the easy way. But, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing for young people to go and experience. And we got to Mobile, spent the night. Somebody broke in my truck, and they stole my laptop, my GPS, and a few other things. But just wanted to say that they didn't get my Bible, my tablet here. So thank the Lord for that. And they didn't get my pistol. For some reason, they left. They got in the console. This was laying on top of my pistol. They opened the console. They pulled this out. They pulled the pistol out. They laid the tablet back in there and closed the lid, and then they left the pistol laying in the passenger floorboard. But they stole my laptop. So, but I was thinking, I was telling some of the brothers down there, I was like, well, I remember about Brother Colley's rifles getting stolen, and we called for it, and they came back. And I told them, so I've seen God do bigger things than that besides returning a laptop. And so he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So y'all just continue to pray. But nothing's too hard for God. And so I just believe it'll turn up. And I don't know where it's at, but God knows, and God knows how to bring it back. So Sister Esther, if you want to come and start, we're going to start with her and get the rest of the young people.
So to start off my testimony, I'm going to go ahead and thank Poppy and Nanny for providing us with the money to go to this camp. So when you're going to a meeting about to get a blessing, you know the devil's going to come around and be like, no, you're not getting anything. So that's what he tried to do to me, and I knew it was him, so I was like, I'm not going to listen to you. But in the back of my mind, I was still worried, like, you know, what if I don't get anything? So I get there, I go through the prayer line and stuff, and I don't really feel anything, and so the devil's like, see, you didn't feel anything, you didn't get anything. But it wasn't really till after the camp when usually I would start wanting to do the things I used to do. And I realized I didn't want to do those things anymore. God took that desire out of my heart, so emotions don't really matter, it's the desire taken out of you that is what counts. So I just want to thank God for that.
Olivia, you want to start? Oh, there you are. I was looking for you. Then we'll get Josiah next.
So first, I do want to thank the church and Poppy and Annie for letting us go to this camp. And I wanted to thank Brother Homer's church for providing a way to go to the camp. And I wanted to start by saying I went to camp with a couple things on my mind. I put a prayer request in about a month ago for a friend named Christian. He was struggling with health problems, and he had to recently go to the doctor because he had cancer. And so he doesn't have any more cancer, but he hasn't been able to eat for 2 months without vomiting or throwing something up. So I went to camp with him on my mind, and whenever I got back from camp, he told me that he has been able to eat without throwing up, like, for the past about week now. So I really wanted to thank that, and how I could tell was the first night of camp, this first service that we went to at all, I got nervous. Okay. The first service that we went to, I prayed for him, and I just felt like this feeling that he was healed and that he couldn't get hurt again by whatever he had, because the doctors didn't know what he had. And a couple days later, he told me that he's been able to keep down his food And it was that day that he felt better, that day, that minute that I prayed for him. And I thought that was great.
I'd like to start out by thanking the church for letting us go, Poppy and Nanny, and for Brothers Homer's Church for letting us drive down there. And I received a personal blessing from Brother Andrew Glover and Brother Donnie, who preached there. They preached amazing services on mechanics and dynamics and just how God can help you in your darkest times. And I received the blessing from camp, and one of their biggest points throughout camp was when you receive something from God, don't leave it at camp. Don't leave it in Louisiana. Just take it home with you. So I'm working on that, and thank you, everyone.
Amen. Yes, I want to thank the church for Brother Dale allowing the young people to go. And I also want to say I appreciate all the prayers for everybody praying for them. I know people around the world, you know, some other countries that have been there, and, you know, they send their greetings to the young people at camp and tell them, you know, even though we're not there, we're still praying for you. And it's just really a blessing. But I just want to have a little testimony to give about the prayer line. Every Saturday night, they have a prayer line, and have all the ministers come, and you know, all week they preach on having faith and claiming what God has given you. And it was an amazing thing. I was blessed by the word, but you know, it's a blessing to see somebody else get blessed, and to see the kids, you know, some of them, just like Esther and them were talking about, so many of them come with questions, and the devil just really beats on them, and you know, they're coming to get a blessing, and the devil fights them all the way. And you know, some of them, they have a lot of questions in their minds and in their hearts when they get there. But you know, the thing is you just start trusting God, and you know, you listen to the word go forth, and you know, to build faith, and you know, the promises of God are yea and amen. They're yours, and all you have to do is claim them. But I just want to give everybody, wanted me to talk about the prayer line, so I just want to briefly talk about that. I think we prayed for just about everybody there. It seemed like it went on forever, but it was a blessing. But there were three people that come through the prayer line that we dealt with that had demons, and they were cast out while we were there, and to see that, and a lot of young people had never seen anything like that before, had never experienced anything like that. But you know, it was one thing that Brother Andrew was talking about was, you know, you start to see that those spirits are real. And Brother Branham talked about those spirits. And, you know, people just, we've heard a lot of people talk about the ministry, talk about it, and we've heard Brother Branham talk about it and everything like that. But it comes to a point where you actually see those things manifest. It changes your outlook and your, because, you know, those spirits are real. You're fighting a real spirit. But the thing is the Spirit of God is greater than that. He's just as real as that. We don't see in that other realm, but it's really there. And a lot of people think, well, it's just some kind of hocus pocus or something like that. But you start dealing with that, and then all of a sudden people start, I mean, a lot of the kids had never seen anything like that. And they had, were really talking about what they had seen. But anyway, there was three people that come through the line, and the first lady that came through the line, she came with her husband, because the prayer line's open to anybody in the church, anybody there at the meetings. So we prayed for parents, grandparents, everybody. But this lady, she came through, and as soon as she got in the beginning of the prayer line, I was out back toward the end. And as soon as she came through, I don't know if anybody's ever dealt with spirits, if you've ever seen a demon Brother Branham said, you ever see how somebody's countenance changes when the devil's about to be exposed? And if you ever seen that take place, you can see the look in their eyes. Their countenance changes. Sometimes their eyes bug out. Sometimes their eyes roll back in their head. They jerk and contort. I mean, it's just an amazing thing that people, what was going on. But, you know, she was just all over the place, and they were praying for her, but they got her down on the floor after she was all over the brothers were trying to hold to her and pray for her, and she was just going kind of ballistic there. And after they finally got her down, they started talking to her, and they started speaking to that spirit. And, you know, they had to call it. Lots of times you'll see somebody, when this takes place, you know, their eyes roll back in their head or whatever, and if you call their name and you speak to them, you speak to that spirit and you tell them, you let them come through. You talk, and then you all of a sudden they'll come. The person is back there, and you can talk to them. But the thing is you've got to get the person that's bound by that spirit. You've got to get that person to confess and cast that spirit out. The Bible says, "In my name shall they cast out devils." Well, that's not the preachers having to do that. That's the person that's bound has got to get to the point to cast the spirit out. But they dealt with her for quite a while. We prayed for over 30 minutes with her. And then finally some of the brothers took her off to the back room, and they continued to pray for her, and she was delivered after the service. But the brothers continued to pray for her. But there was another young lady that was I would say she was about 18 years old. And I don't know what it was, but as soon as she got in the prayer line, it was just manifesting in her, and it was really fighting the brothers and everything. And they were just trying to hold on to her, and just they were praying and casting that thing out. And it wasn't long. It was maybe 10 minutes or something. But anyway, she just fell to the floor like a box of rocks. I mean, she just hit the floor hard, and the thing was gone. And when she came back to herself, she was fine. But there was a little black brother. He come through the prayer line, and when he came through, one of the brothers that was there, he caught a spirit on him. And this brother, he just walked through the prayer line, but the brother caught the spirit, and he watched him leave the platform. Well, we finished the prayer line, and then it started that manifest, started acting up, and one of the brothers had mentioned to Brother Tim Pruitt about it. Well, I didn't hear what was going on. I just happened to see something was going on. Well, by the time we got over there, the brother was in one of the chairs at the second row, and his head was down between his knees. I thought he had passed out or he was sick or something. I didn't realize what was going on. And they didn't say anything to us. So anyway, we just started making our way over to where he was. But that's what was so amazing was when he went down and passed out or whatever in the chair, all these boys that are from his dorm, you're like 13 to 15 years old, all these brothers that were around him, all these young men, they went over and they were the ones praying for him when the ministers got over to where he was. And so when we come over there, one of the brothers was trying to talk to him and trying to revive him. Well, the brother that had seen the spirit, he said, "I seen you sniggering and everything." He said, "I seen that spirit." And he said, "I walked over and he started talking to him." Well, when we got there and that brother started talking to him, then that thing started coming out. And then that was the one that we saw that actually spoke to us. And I was standing there, and I was closer, about half the distance between me and Brother Collie, and that thing was talking. And, you know, it was... They tried to talk to him, and they asked the brother knew what kind of spirit it was. He said, you're a spirit of, and he said, yes. The spirit answered. But they showed him a picture of the pillar of fire. Brother had it on his phone. He showed it to him, and he showed him a picture of the pillar of fire. He said, "This is a manifestation of your creator." And that thing wouldn't look at it, wouldn't look at the picture of pillar of fire. He kept turning his head, and he said, "You look at me." And all of a sudden that spirit looked at that brother, and he said, "This is a manifestation of your creator." And he said, "Yes." And a real deep voice that he spoke. But it was an amazing thing that a lot of those kids had never seen anything like that. But, you know, they kept they got the brother to start reading the scripture and quoting the scripture. It's because, you know, you have to make this thing leave. And so when they started asking this brother, and they started giving him the scriptures to read, and he said that thing would just come up and start messing with his mouth and contorting, and they would say, "You be quiet and let him speak." And it would come right back, and he would start speaking. But we prayed for him for quite a while, but he finally was able to cast that thing out. But we just kept praying for him and praying for him. But it was him speaking and him telling it. And afterwards, after they dismissed, because he came up front and said he was free from that spirit. And then when he left, we had walked out, and some of the brothers had went with him outside and walking him back to his dorm. Well, by the time he got to his dorm, me and Brother Jonathan Jones, some of y'all know Brother Jonathan, we were outside walking. I seen him in the distance sitting in front of his dorm, and I seen that spirit coming back, and he was just contorting and getting all agitated and everything. There was a brother standing there trying to talk to him, and I walked back over, and we were talking to him, and it was manifesting. He was fighting him, and so Brother Jonathan and some of the other brothers, we took him back to the church, back to the back room, and sat him down in a chair, and we kept trying to talk to him, to have faith. And the other thing is for him to confess. He needed to confess, and there were things in his life that he needed to confess, and he finally just started talking to us. And he said, "Well, the thing is, as soon as you expose Satan, Satan has no power. If there's fear, and there's a few things I want to share." Well, after he'd done that and he was free, we prayed for him, and he was free of that. One of the brothers said, "Okay, so we're going to take you to get baptized because you've repented. Now you get baptized because the only way you're going to keep that thing away from you is to receive the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost." And he said, "Well, I've already been baptized." And they said, "Well, we're going to go get baptized again." So we took him down to the water, and the brother baptized him. But he said the next morning, all three of them were free of their spirits. Those unclean spirits had been cast out. But I got a couple of things here I want to share with you. Number one, the one thing that Brother Tim and all the ministers always talk about, even Brother Branham, unconfessed sin, those spirits are going to stay right where they are. As long as there's unconfessed sin, that's the main thing. Is Brother Tim said, don't even get in the prayer line if you have unconfessed sins. You need to get rid of that first, and then you can come in here, because they're going to stay there as long as you don't confess. But the main thing is confess God's word and confess whatever, because, you know, the thing is people say, "Well, I don't have any unconfessed sin." But, you know, there was a sister one time, a lady come to Brother Branham, and she thought she was all right until Brother Branham said, "You know, I seen the railroad tracks and the car and everything like that." And she said, "Don't you mention that." Said, "I confessed that a long time ago." I was like, "Yeah, but you didn't confess that. God wasn't the one you sinned against. It was your husband you sinned against, and you need to go make that right." So, see, a lot of times when those things come about, all of a sudden people start talking about things that they don't want to talk about, because that's what's unconfessed sin is in your life, is those things that are hidden. Then all of a sudden, when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll start bringing those things to your memory as what you need to make right. And the other thing is to empower the people to be the one to cause the spirit to flee. You know, it's not the ministers. Just like there was a brother I was talking to after the meeting, and he said that Brother Tim Pruitt, he has instructed his ministers on this. But the thing is there was a sister came one time, and she said the spirit, they cast the demon out of her, and it was, you know, she was so afraid it was going to come back. And they kept telling her, "Sister, we didn't cast it out, you did." And said, "The only thing that changes in all of this is your location. You're here. But when you go home, God's word don't change. You've already cast him out." So you had faith to show, because God's already proved to you that this spirit will leave you. You have the faith. God's word don't change. The Holy Ghost don't change. The only thing that changes is your location. Because if he's done it once, he'll do it again. And the only thing is, you've got to have faith to believe that he'll take care of that. The other thing that I thought was amazing is the number of ministers, a number of brethren that are around that have battled all these spirits that you can think of. Depression, drugs, alcohol, even pornography, that God has delivered. And these brothers are the ones that come and pray for these young people. It's so amazing because some of these kids say, I'm battling this and I'm battling that. And them brothers are standing there saying, you know what? God delivered me of that. 13, 15, 20 years ago, God delivered me of that. And some of these brothers that have battled these spirits, I have to tell you, they're very zealous about what they do. They're almost militant about what they do. Because they've been delivered of those spirits, and those spirits still attacking the young people. They have a real burden on their heart for the young people. And that's what amazed me, was I was really blessed to see that, because, you know, those kids are standing there. Sometimes they think they're on an island all by themselves. But you know what? There's brothers standing there and they say, hey, I've battled this. I know what it's like. And you know what? God delivered me. And you know what? He's the testimony. So it was really amazing. And you know, the one thing is another thing I want to say is fear is the way back. Is the devil's looking for an avenue back in your life after the devil, you cast a spirit out. He's looking for a way back, and fear is the way that he finds his way back. Because that's what some of those kids happen, is because they get fearful after that thing leaves and the devil comes back. Well, you know what? If you start dwelling on fear and not dwelling on faith, then that's the devil's avenue to come back on you. But I'm so glad that, you know, a lot of people have got to see those things that are real, and they come upon us. But you know what? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Let's all stand this afternoon. I'm sorry I was trying to be brief on this, but it really touched my life. And I thank God that these young people have an opportunity, and there's people out there that have a real burden for the young people to be blessed and touched. So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, as Brother Dale comes this afternoon.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen and amen.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Do you?
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Holy, holy glory. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Do you love him?
Power and love as we. Holy, 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 holy.
Amen. Amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? Amen. We appreciate our youth.
Amen.
We appreciate their testimony and their going and doing. And we pray the Lord would always be with them, and they'd learn a lot of things from these camps and things that they go to. And just pray the Lord would always bless those that are trying to put forth those efforts to do those things, to help the children and things. And they're doing. Amen. Okay, just remember, by way of announcement, Wade is probably on the way back in this evening from Brother Dutch. So remember that. Remember, Brother Aaron will be ministering Wednesday. Remember, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday. The fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday in May. So remember all of these. Keep in your hearts, Brother Addison, still having trouble with his back, and Brother Donnie. He had been to the emergency room or to a doctor, and then today they took him back, so maybe we can have some report, get something back after a while to find out how he's doing. But he's been just a lot of diarrhea. It just gets better, and then it goes back. And so, you know, he lost, I think he said, 11 pounds in 3 days or something like that. So just, you know, pray that the Lord would reach down and touch him and deliver him of all things. If you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn back where we read this morning from Ephesians 2. We'll try to pick up our thought and continue on what we're talking on salvation. Father, we thank you for this day and your love. Thank you for everything. Thank you for being with the young people, Lord, and helping them and giving them understanding and, Lord, to see the natural things of life and a lot of the situations, and it'll help them in their own spiritual understanding that they may walk in you. And Lord, we ask you to just bless each one. Remember Brother Dick, our Lord, this back problem, and Brother Donnie, just reach down and touch him. Remember Wade and him on the way back home. Remember all of these that are sick among us, because we believe you and we thank you. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So just have your way now. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts, and let your loving grace be with each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace, now remember up here what we read, where it says, by grace you're saved. Now look, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now he's brought his point. He laid it down that we're sitting in heavenly places and everything, and that we're saved by grace. But now he adds a point to it for us to understand. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, what was our point? We tried to make the point this morning of one thing. We say, oh, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. You can't tell me I ain't saved. Well, why are you concerned about it? Right? Why are you concerned? Why's the problem? You know, if you're saved, who you're trying to convince, yourself or me? It doesn't do much good to try to convince me, because it wouldn't help anything anyway. But see, our point was what we do. I believe the Christian thing is not just a one-time thing. It happens and you believe, and 90 years later you're still a believer. You know, I believe that the Christian life is a life of faith. It's a walk that is in a journey, you know, that in what we do and how we live and things, that Christian journey is unfolding, and we're walking day by day. Not just, I said one thing, we come to church and then never come back no more, or never have no more anything, you know. We just, well, I'm saved. And then when they die, we put everybody in heaven, you know, and say, well, they're saved. Well, that may be true, but what was you saved from, and how does it work? All right, so we're talking about, and the title or thought will be for a couple of services on salvation. All right? And I like that part that I was mentioning. He says that you're saved by faith. But there's more to it than to just say saved by faith. It's what? He's not just saying by faith. He's saying through faith. Through faith. A journey. Your Christian journey is what? Justification. Sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a journey. How many of you remembers that journey? We may have thought we were this or thought we were that. But after coming into the truth of the hour, see, I look back and I remember my life. And I remember when I started my Christian journey. A little old Baptist church, you know, and going forth and saying, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then watching that unfold down through my life as I begin to proceed on in my Christian journey. And I begin to be, you know, more concerned about my life, about the way that I do and act and the things. And, you know, if I'm going to be a Christian, I remember that my thought was, if I'm going to be a Christian, I need to know what the Bible says, because that should be the first thought, you know. So I set out to read the Bible and to try to understand. And I can remember it going through in my life, and that word that I began to read, it began to take out a lot of my wrong thoughts and desires and points of life that I had, you know, doing and deeds and actions and things like that. And it just kept on. Well, see, the problem was that was as far as I could get there, because I didn't have anybody no more to help, you know, move on, because, you know, I would try to talk to people about salvation, and they just kind of, well, I think you need to go to a Pentecostal church. That's what one deacon told me one time, you know. And I think you need to go to a Pentecostal church, because, in other words, I talked about something he didn't know much about, and he was encouraging me to go somewhere else, because, you know, he was honest and sincere, all right? But see, I didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost till I come in this message. But I thought I had it. Like all the rest, I thought and was concerned. I believe I had something. I believe it brought me to where I was, because I depended upon it. But it wasn't over with all at once. See, even I was raised up in a church that, or through the Baptist, that you get everything when you believe. And I'd quote scripture where it said, believeth and is baptized. You know, it wouldn't just believe to me. It wouldn't just, well, I'm in the church, I'm this, I'm that or the other. I had a desire in my heart to know more about God. And then that desire, I began to call out to others. And I found some who were interested in talking and some that wouldn't. But anyhow, I believe I had something to direct me. It may have been justification, sanctification, but it was salvation. Because that's what we look at. We say, you know, well, this, that, or the other, and we try to talk about our point of salvation. But see, your salvation begins when you believe. All right? And that's what you ought to consider it. And you're in a journey in your life. Day by day is a constant journey of a Christian life. And it all should be done upon the basis of our faith. All right. Now, then what we were talking about this morning was what now then? That you're saved by grace through a journey of a Christian life. Saved by grace through faith. All right. Now, getting that part is to see that we should never think about ever stopping. It should never be the thought in a Christian's mind or anything about stopping. Brother Brown said Paul was the kind of person that wanted to always be moving. He didn't mean moving and building from this place to that place, but moving in God to carry what he believed, you know, to others. Well, that should be our desire. We should have the desire in our heart to you know, want to walk in the word and let it unfold. Right? We know a lot about the world and books and magazines and this, that, or the other, but how much do we know of the Bible? Well, see, it's not the journey of Webster's definitions or anything. It's a journey of a Christian that we're talking about. Through faith. Through your life and your doings. Can you remember that? Has your Christian understanding, has your part of the word, has it developed? And I don't mean now just able to read. I don't mean that now. I don't mean, see, that's what most people think being a Christian is being able to memorize the Bible. Well, what the people with photographic memories got it over us, right? This not how much you know, it's how much has been revealed to you. Now, that's what we got to deal with this afternoon. Because we're going to talk about faith, all right? How much of it has been revealed? I would to God that I had revealed to me the amount of word that my mind has been able to captively, you know, let it be in me, and I want that desire. I've always had a desire for growth, you know, a development in my Christian experience. I was never satisfied. I'm not satisfied now to think about. I've preached things that, you know, that a lot of people have never tried to preach. But that's, to me, that's part of my Christian journey. I want something real. All right? And see, faith then is what? Hebrews 11, 1, I believe it's right. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, have you ever been to where God revealed something to you? Huh? I mean, you know, he made something known to you. Now, when he reveals that to you, it's something real. It's a substance. You can't show it, as I was looking at some of the things Brother Brown said. You can't show your faith. Oh, yes, I show my faith the way I live. All right? So does everybody else. You know, you understand what I'm saying? You can't show your faith. You can't take it out and show it. You can't show what's causing you to be what you are. Your life, yeah, up or down, but people's lives are up and down. You know, people live a good life. There are people in your neighborhood, maybe, do you think of, they would in a lot of ways live a better life than we do. More concern, more, you know, of Christianity. We had a lady that I remember in the Baptist church that she said, I won't make my bed of a morning if I could get an opportunity to go talk to somebody about the Lord. Well, see, she meant it. She was sincere. She was, you know, I don't have no problem of thinking she was just doing that to try to convince me. I think she meant it because she lived a good life, you know, and things. And you remember a lot of people that you're around that live lives, good lives. Huh? Some that are not even Christian lives good lives. And are just, you know, everything. I'm like Brother Forney. I don't like that wowsy, down and out, you know, everything. Hey, I have enough trouble as it is. I don't have to get down and out about it. I want to stay up and keep going because that's part of my journey. You know, I've studied this message now for 50 years. Well, I ought to at least be able to remember a little of it. Right? Is that the way you are? I mean, you studied it. That's part of your experience. Is studying this message, reading the message, and taking it to see what God can reveal to you. And you know how that we do it a lot of times? We say, well, I read that and studied that. We said he revealed it to me the other day. Right. Well, if you know what a revelation is, and listen, this is the best way to say it. You don't know what a revelation is if you never had one. Now, that's the best way for me to say it. If you've never had one, you don't know what a revelation is. If somebody can take away from you, out argue, out quote, out do or whatever, if they can take that away from you, it ain't no revelation. Now, a lot of intellect might look good, but if they can take it away from you, that's not a revelation. Because we're talking about, as I said, Hebrews 11:1, that Faith is the substance. All right, now here is our whole key to what we're talking about. My notes is doing no good. Just leave them alone. All right. Is your God real? Or is he just your thoughts? Is he just your imagination or your point? Or is he real? Right? You say you believe in one true and living God. Right? Now, is there any way that somebody could deprogram you and take away from you the revelation of Jesus Christ? If there is, you didn't have it. All right. See, I believe in a salvation that is real. Because the God that I believe in is real. All right. See, then I can depend upon what he says because he's trying his best to get me to see something about that is real. All right. Do you have, no, Satan can come and give us doubts and thoughts. Come on now, listen. He can make us this way, that way, down and out, up and up. He can do all kind of things. Right when you think you got everything defeated, you better realize you're fixing to get slapped down. Because it's not going to work that way. That's not God's way of doing it. I like what Brother Gary Atkins used to say. He said, God knows how to raise children. You know, I mean, we got kids and we do, and they pretty face that little eyeball, you know, pity, and this, oh, they cry and they just touch our heart. Yeah. Right? Well, see, God don't deal like that. You ever had him just tell you to shut up? Sit down. Quit acting like a little baby. Well, my God don't do like that. My God is sweet and soft and mellow and, well, I'm sorry to tell you, you ain't got the God I'm talking about. You don't have the God of the Word. All right? You may have your God, but that's not the God of the Word. See, sometimes he just tells you to just shut up. You know, quit crying. Get up and go on. You know, all right, we get so down and out until we think God has left us. And we're just in the valley of, you know, problems. And I think we have a sister. No, that's not a sister. She's been here before. Okay. I always look around and I miss people. You know, I don't want to be the word that I don't see people. You know? All right. But now listen, how real the seriousness of what I'm talking about. Because I believe that your salvation is as real as your God. Amen. Now that's the way I believe salvation. Amen. I believe it's just as real as God is. Because God is my salvation. Amen. It's not just a thought or a concept. That's right. That's what most people have about God. They just have their own thoughts, their own concept, their own doing. About the eternal God. Well, that's not it. God is real. I spent all of my whole Christian, almost 40 years now, trying to preach how real God is. And I make this statement, and I'll have you remember it when I make it. I said, one of these days I'm going to preach on the Godhead if I ever get it settled down enough. He said, my Lord, you've been preaching 40 years on it. That's what I mean. I've been preaching 40 years on it, ain't got it done yet. I'm just getting started. I just see him unfold himself and how real he is. And I know for a certainty that my salvation is based upon whether or not my God is real. Well, I just believe he's just as good. He's this. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about a God that has substance. Or is the substance, a better way of saying it. Not has substance. He's real. He's more real than you are. And I certainly know you're real. Well, then my God is more real than anything I could think of. All right. Because faith is the substance. Right? Now, Webster says a substance is what anything consists of. To be a substance, it has to have something that makes it that way.
That's right.
If not, it's just your thoughts.
Amen.
All right? Now, a substance can be walked on. Right? Well, because it's real. Now, how real is your God then? We get all down and out because things don't work our way.
Right?
But yet, that's right where he wants us at. He said, no, he wants me to be joyous and happy. Well, why not be joyous and happy? You mean you're down and out because God said something? Or I quote Brother Branham. He said if he asked God and he told him no, he said a no is a better than anything else I could get. Something paraphrasing it. If he tells you no, that's more real than all the yeses you ought to ask for. But then do you turn around and ask him again? Yeah, but Lord, you don't understand. You don't understand my problems. Yeah. We're trying to get him to come down on our ground, and he ain't going to do it. Yeah. How is it by raising children? Sometimes you have to spank them. Right? Because that may be against the law anymore, but that's, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Yeah. You got to correct a child. All right. I didn't write the book. God wrote the book. He even said, beat a child, it won't die. Now, if somebody come up to me and they had black all over them and bruises, and they said, well, Daddy, what, man? Well, I'd be the first one to take you to jail. So I'm not talking wrong. Right? I just take you to jail. Because I don't believe in it. I don't believe that's what the Bible's talking about. Well, it said beat a child. No, there's a lot of difference in a whipping and a beating. You know. I remember Wade one time, he was kind of, he got old enough, you know. And he wasn't going to be a boy no more. He wasn't going to be a kid no more. Well, I had to whip him about something. Well, I tapped him a couple of times with a belt. I noticed him, he just bowed up. You know. I said, we got to settle this one way or the other. I said, got to do something. Because he's done bowing up. So I had a little belt. I didn't kill him. I didn't leave no big bruises or great big spots on him. All I done was just kind of tapped him a little bit, and that didn't work. I tapped him a little bit again, a little harder. That didn't work. I said, one way or the other, kapow! Man! I said, okay, you're through. I didn't have to do the fourth one. Right? Why? Because you want to call it breaking a spirit, you want to call it whatever you want to call it doing, that's up to you. You know, as to what's doing. That's, you know, we used to whip our children. My wife did more than I did, but that's still the point, you know. But see, we didn't pet them. It was Wade and Terrence was out in the yard one day. I don't know where they'd ever remember it, but that, you know, Wade was bigger than Terrence, but they'd seen him down in the yard and they got into a fight. Well, I just stepped out on the porch. I said, hey boys. And oh, they were scrappling good, you know. And they wasn't neither one killing each other. They were just, and they, I said, come on up, boys. And they come up through there. Well, both of them, by then, see, they were, Daddy, he jumped on me, and he jumped on, he done that, and he done that. And I didn't do that. I said, come on in. I saw the fight. Okay, both of them lay over the bed. Pow. You know, just enough to let them know. You don't have to hit very hard. I always think about God as he corrects us with nail scars in his hands. You know, you don't never think of that because that's just the way God does. But he has to correct us. My point, God is real. God is real. He's not just the thoughts of your mind. He's not something you could conjure up, you know, to make something. He's real. When are we going to realize that and just settle down to that? And think about it and let him talk to us that way and deal with us as human beings. Okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, the best way I can describe it, how many of you wants more of God? You know how you get more of God? By faith. Right? You want more watermelon? What do? You eat watermelon. Right? You want more faith? Just study the Word of God. And it just keeps getting stronger and greater. Because he's real. Now, I'm trying to make a point, emphasis. You're saved by grace. That's God's unmerited favor. We didn't do anything to get it. Nothing we can do in any way. It's all of what he done. The Bible said if he didn't call us, we can't be saved, right? Well, I just got saved. I just went to the altar. I just believed the Lord. I'm saved. Now, where's the scripture for that? My Bible says no man can come to God unless God calls him. But it also got more to do with it than that. He says many are called and what? Few are chosen. All right? Now, but see, what is the depth of your faith? Like I said, we've been in the message now some 40, 50 years. We ought to have at least an intellectual understanding. Yes. Right. Yes. To be in the message and study one message for all of those years. We're not a Baptist that said, well, we spent 300 years in the Baptist. You never gained 1 ounce. I'm as serious as I can be. I remember from where I started in the Baptist to where I left. They had not gained 1 ounce upon revelation. Now you tell me, am I right? Think back where you come from. You know what I mean? The church we was in, it was known for getting rid of preachers. And I was always on the wrong side. So you know where I was at. I was on the preacher's side. And I was always in trouble because of that. But we had one guy lasted 3 months. Because you have to be in the Baptist to understand. The deacon board runs the Baptist church. It's not the pastor. The deacon board runs the Baptist church. And they told us, said, now what you do if that, and I mentioned it to one year a while back, and he just died laughing. And he's a Baptist preacher. And see, they taught us, you're a deacon. If that Baptist preacher gets off the faith, you know, the Baptist faith, you're supposed to go up. Now, this is my nephew, and he verified it. I was right, and he didn't lie. They're supposed to go up. You're supposed to take his Bible, fold it up, and dismiss the congregation and send them home. Because he's off the Baptist faith. Well, wouldn't that be pretty good? You know? But just because he's off the faith. He laughed. He said, well, you do have to be off the faith to do it. But see, you think I tell a lot of things that are crazy. You know what I told him in a deacon's meeting one night when a deacon told me that? I said, come on, fellas, brothers. I said, you had deacons in the book of Acts. I said, the only thing that they done was waited on tables. And my nephew laughed when I told him that because I did. I said, All that I know the deacons to do is wait on tables. And you telling me where to run this and run that. See, you don't think that a lot of things goes on unless you go out among it and learn it. And then I say something like that to you. Well, I don't know whether that's true or not. Well, go check it out. I like Brother Dick Addison about that. I'd say something to you, at least go check it out. Right. Find out if it's true. Because you see what I'm getting at. If you've been in a church for 10 years and you haven't grown in grace and knowledge, there's something wrong with you. Something wrong with you because your faith has stopped. Faith is a revelation. Right? It's a substance, which is a revelation. All right? But it's the substance of things hoped for. Now listen. Now put Brother Brown's definition with it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He said, now, you have it. So now, hope for makes it look like it's something you're hoping you have. That's not true with salvation. Salvation is not based on hope. Now it is if you know what the word hope means, because the word hope can be taken all the way into faith. Because the things we hope for. All right. But see, if you don't know the depth of the word hope, you'll be tying it up. Like I said, you know, we talk about believing. The Bible doesn't say he that believes and is baptized. He said he that believeth. You stop believing, there's something wrong with you. You can lose your salvation. Yeah, well, Brother Dale, I don't understand that. You think I can be saved today and lost tomorrow? No. I believe you can have a mental concept of salvation and think and hope that you're saved and believe that you're saved and swear that you're saved and still be lost. Ooh. But I believe, well, that's your evidence. See, that's why the prophet said, what is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? Whether or not the Spirit in you, now listen to him, agrees with the Word. Not agreed. Whether it agrees with the Word. That's what I'm talking about, a Christian journey through faith. Your Christian journey started the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. All right. Now, if it stops anywhere, there's something wrong. How many of you can remember how the Lord brought you into the Word? Can you remember that? Sister Johnny can remember it real good. Because, see, her brother, Brother Darty, he was in this cult down in Lula, Georgia. She was up in New York. And her brother got all tied up in this stuff. Well, she just come down here to go straighten us all out. Kind of like the story Brother Random tells of Brother Collins, and everywhere, which one it was, about the Jehovah Witness. But she came down here. She wanted to see what Brother Darty had got into. Well, you know what convinced her? Most of you know the story. She was here with us for a few days. Said, well, okay. They kind of got their own way of singing. They got their own way of doing. They got their own little bit different what we are, you know, whatever. It's okay. Don't know yet. Well, see, Anna, she was, I don't know, maybe 10 years old, 8 or 10 at that time, something. Well, Sister Johnny was fixing to leave. And Anna walked up to her and said, come back, Sister Johnny, and be with us. Said, we love you, you know, thank you for coming. You know what, she went home. It wasn't all them great big revelations. It wasn't all of them great big things we was doing. She said, grown folks can lie to you. and tell you they love you when they don't. But said kids don't do that. So what was the thing that brought salvation to Sister Johnny in the basis of believing the message and coming on and now down here with us? Anna, in a little statement of, we love you and glad you come to be with us. See, that put her in a Christian journey. She used to call me from New York. She kind of got straightened out, was all right. She'd call me from New York and we'd talk for an hour. She said, well, there's one thing about it. Said, everybody else down there, they get to see you. I don't get to see you. But said, I can talk to you. And said, look, it don't cost me very much. And it did get kind of funny because her husband, he said, there she started out in the basement with the washing and everything. Said, now she's got that preacher up in the bedroom playing his tapes. Kind of made it part of the life. All right. She had a Christian journey. She moved along. All right. Just telling you. See, we think about, every one of us could think about what happened in our journey that brought us to a place. I can talk about some of you if you'd like me to. Anybody raise your hand? You want me to talk about you? I got a pretty decent memory. Brother Larry, he used to tell me this and that. And then we'd always have to go to Ryan's and eat. I can tell you a little bit about our journey. I go down to Ryan's and listen to him talk. Old brother Tom Farbush, we had a Ryan's down that way. He'd get all tied up a little bit about this, that, or the other. I got a phone call. We have to go eat breakfast. So I got to bring a lot of breakfasts, But listen, church. How real is your God? Your salvation is based upon how real your God is. If you don't have a real God, then you need to find one. I believe the devil is more real to most people than God is because they don't know him as a person. You realize salvation? What are you saying, brother? You realize salvation is a person? No, I thought it was an experience. I thought it was something. Salvation is a person. I thought it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. I thought that's what the prophet said. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. When he said, what is the new birth then, Brother Branham? He said, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. All right, now listen. The new birth is a revelation of Jesus Christ to you. Not to Brother Branham. No, not going to say it like it is. It's not to Brother Branham to you. Right? It's got to be something personal. Now, how God sent it, that's up to him. I hope you understand my point. It's not based on how much, that we can claim to believe with the message. Because come on, folks. You don't want to talk to me on a lot of things. Because you start saying, well, I believe the message. Well, I'm going to start saying, where was you at last week? When the prophet said, you can't wait for the church doors to open. Come on, I can quote the prophet. You want to get with me on it? You know what I'm talking about. You know the seriousness of the whole thing. Do we put everything we got on what he says? Or we still got a little bit left over? Well, I think. It always gets me. When I hear somebody, we start to talking, and they say, Brother Dale, I think. We got a road to go now. We're fixing to go down a rabbit trail. Because you're saying, I think. Right? It ain't what I think. It's what God says. Because see, there's the point. You think you're saved. Because you don't do this, you don't do that, you do this. You think you're saved. And God says, that don't save you. Is that the way the prophet said it? Does he say it that way? I mean, do I need to read them to you? We try to make our salvation based upon our thoughts and ideas instead of what God says in his word. Saved by grace through faith. We've been on a journey of a Christian walking. In case you remember when things are revealed. Now this is one I'm sure that you won't never agree. You know, you probably never relate to it. But have you ever noticed your Christian journey when you first start? Oh, you're just so happy. You're just traveling. And you're just moving. And every time it's just something new. And then you just keep on reading. And you're reading. And something new unfolds. Something new unfolds. Something new unfolds. After a while, it starts getting to be less and less and less. Am I right? Do you remember your Christian journey that way? That when you first started, you're like a little baby. God just gives you everything you cry for. But after a while, you cry, and he just, like he's going on vacation. He's training us. God don't, as Brother Gary always said, God don't want spoiled brats. We used to get so tickled at it, Sister Orr. Some of you remember her. She had three boys, I think it was, anyhow. She had this, what was it, a spoon or something, wasn't it, a paddle about this big, or a little hickory or something. And Bud, one of them kids went, and she'd go, pow! And you could hear it, you know. But you didn't hear it no more. That ended that. Brother Gary said, she knows how to raise kids, don't she? Well, isn't it odd that sometimes God has to use the rod of correction. Right? To get us to line up. Well, no, he's a loving God. Well, I can say it right real quick. You lay on that real heavy with me, you know what I'm going to say? You ain't saved. You might not like that terminology, but you're not saved because there's no such thing in my salvation to do like that. I've had him to tell me just to shut up. I told you about it. I was in probably a little problem and things, and I was praying. And I get in the car one day, and I start out down the road, and waiter Terrence, one met him. They said, where are you going? I said, I'm going for a ride. Man, I was at one of them low points. I was down and out, wowsy, wowsy, woo. Wasn't even enough to get me started. And I was just crying, and, oh, man, I was just driving down the road, and I was just so upset, and Lord, everything's gone wrong. I go about halfway to Maysville, and something said like this, said, hey, you think you're having problems? I said, what do you think I went through? I cried all the way back home. But it was a different cry. It wasn't no pouty thing. It was a different cry. He had just let me know that I was acting like a big old baby. And I needed a good spanking. And he just gave it to me. I drove back home crying from a different cry. A Christian journey. Sure, we can talk about grace. Sure, we can talk about unmerited favor. But what about a journey in all of that? What about a journey of faith? What about walking in a realm with God that he's real? Now, come on, folks. Every one of the kids in here knows who Superman is. You know who Batman is. You know all about these things and who played the parts and who they were, whatever. Right? But do you know Jesus Christ? How about it? Do we know Jesus Christ as being real? If you don't get nothing out of it, I'll end it in a minute. You just remember one thing. Brother Dale believes in a real God. I don't believe in just the thoughts of my imagination. Because come on, my imagination runs so wild until he wouldn't even want to deal with my thoughts. But yet he's real. If faith is the substance and we're saved by faith, now come on, do you agree with that? Is the Bible all right? Or do we need to read some more, Brother Branham, or whatever? Do you believe you're saved by faith? Well, no, we're saved through faith, Brother Dale. Yeah, we're saved by grace through faith. All right. Are you really saved through faith? Are you going through a journey in your own Christian experience? But nobody loves me. I'm all down and out. I'm even beginning to wonder if the Lord loves me. I hadn't talked to him in a while. That's what we. Anytime you want to. Now, I ended that series the other day. It ain't no bad for a preacher the way I am, because I'm more of a teacher style. I can just drop back, pick this up, run that away. And while you're starting into a series, it's all well and good. And while you're in the middle of the series, all well and good. But when it starts winding down to end, you get worried. Where am I going next? But he's never failed me. But he'll let me get so low till I'm thinking, Lord, I'm over the cliff. Will you grab me? Because if you don't, I'm falling. Then he said, okay, go this way. And he don't talk to me a lot. I wish he did. But when he ever speaks, I don't worry. I don't worry about who don't agree with it. When God speaks to me, I have no thoughts about whether it's right or wrong. I have thoughts about wondering which way I'm going, yeah. But not whether it's right or wrong. I told you about it many times. My wife was up in the garden one day and something was going on. And I told my wife, I said, this will happen this way. She said, it'll never happen. I said, it either happened that way or I'll quit preaching. She said, you preached your last sermon. Well, she was telling the truth as far as the natural was. It fell in place. See, there's where you've got something real. See, you say, well, Brother Dale, I don't want to get on the spot of anything. Hey, I'm on the spot every service. I claim to be speaking of what God has given me to bring. And I got enough sense to know that if I don't bring it his way, I'm going to be condemned with it. The very thing that I bring. You know for sure that I want to keep it right. Faith. Faith is not what you can remember. Faith is not how much you can memorize. See, that's what we think it is. We think faith is a memory or to memorize something. No. It's a substance. Now listen, do you realize it's God speaking to you? You realize if he gives you his thought, he just gave you a part of his own substance. Amen. Part of his own being.
That's right.
Do you believe him that way?
Yes.
Faith is a revelation. It's something God has revealed to you.
Yes.
Huh? It's something he's revealed to you. It's yours because he gave it to you. And it's a substance. It's like we've talked about, you know, a lot of things happening now. And I was mentioning it down there a while ago about it. To somebody. You know. I mean, if we're going to go this distance and fall apart, then it goes to prove we did not know salvation to start with. Our salvation wasn't real. It was a confession. It was us accepting him. But has he accepted you? But Brother Dale, you're not afraid of being on the internet to the world? No. No. Why should I be afraid about what I believe? Because I've always said this one point. I mean, remember this one. I've always said it this way. There's one thing, see, that I have in my favor. If I'm wrong and you come correct me, I can take correction. So I can't lose. But if I'm right, then I ain't worried about you or anybody else. Well, that's just being sarcastic, is it? See, I've followed this message long enough to know this message has no contradictions in it. Right? Now, people make contradictions. People make thoughts that are wrong. Brother Branham said things that are wrong. But the message has no contradictions. What about a wonderful message that we can talk like that? The message is so perfect until there's no contradictions that it does not contradict in any way the written word of God, because it is the written word made alive. See? This to me is God in letter form. Okay. Now, what this book says, I believe. All right. And that's where, when I preach from this book. The prophet's message. Yeah. Because if you can see my Bible, you'd see it. It's got a lot of markings on it. Because all of those markings is telling you what the prophet said about these things. All right. Now we get to this little thought later to show you how it works. Jesus said, unless you're born of water and spirit, you can't enter the kingdom. Water and spirit. What do you think that means? Water and spirit. Well, it means water baptism and Holy Ghost baptism. That's a good thought, but ain't true. Good thought, good point, but it ain't what it's talking about. So I search and I search because I know, hey, there's something wrong there. That doesn't compare with the rest of the word. So I search until I find where the prophet said it. You know what he said? He said, you're washed by the water of the word. And then you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So it is water and spirit. Right? See, that way I depend upon what he's saying to me of what the word says. Because I know if I'm right and if it has been revealed to me, then I have no worry about what's going to come forth. Then I don't have no worry about what anybody else says. Well, Brother Dale, I don't agree. Oh, that's all right. Ain't no problem. You show me what it says. Well, I think it. Now, there's that thing. You know, I think it. But what is your faith? Now let's say this for a minute and we'll quit. See, when you first accepted Jesus Christ, that started your Christian journey, right? Now we're going to run through faith for a little bit. We're going to have a little journey through faith. You started your Christian journey. You started growing. You started increasing. In what? In the memory of the word? No. No. In the revelation. In the revelation of the word. You remember when you read the Bible? You remember when you first started? And then compare that to your understanding today. And I didn't say head knowledge now because that's not right. Head knowledge ain't going to save nothing. That's our problem. What about the Christian journey that started the day you was born again and has been unfolding ever since? I don't mean do you know more about the message by head knowledge. I mean, has the message become an anchor for the soul? See, an anchor for the soul is a substance. You don't need having an anchor if you ain't got somewhere to put it. It's a substance. We're going to pick up, yes, we're going to get into justification and help for the children and sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. But this is the main point right here to start it. That you're saved by grace through faith. And as long as that journey keeps unfolding, your saving is correct. But if that journey stops, you're proving you never had it. Yeah, but you're making... No, I ain't making it. I'm making it anything. Of what you're saying. But I thought you get eternal life, you can't be lost. If you get eternal life, you can't be lost. I'm a firm believer in eternal security. Now listen, you and out there too. I'm a firm believer in once saved, always saved. If you're truly saved. Right? If you're truly saved, you'll never be lost. But if you're not truly saved, you're going to be lost somewhere. You're going to go off somewhere. So eternal security. I'm a firm believer in eternal security. Once born again, always born again. Once born again. Not what we talk about. Not, well, I know I'm saved, bless God. You can't tell me I ain't saved. I ain't trying to. I ain't trying to tell you you're lost. I'm trying to tell you, you'll find out pretty quick what your Christian journey has turned out to be. When this thing passes a few more turns of life, and it's got to happen, so something has got to take place. Irregardless. But when it does, we're all going to prove what we are. But can you agree? How many of you's had to change your thoughts? You know. Saying for a minute, musicians, come on. How many of you used to be Trinitarians? We swore by being three gods, didn't we? Right? Is that true now? We swore by three gods. What's the difference now? We're swearing by one. Has your journey increased in revelation, or has it decreased? Because it is a travel journey. You started as a child, and you grow in grace and knowledge. But us Baptists, we started as a child, and 20 years later, we're still a child. I see that in the message so much until I know I'm sorry. I say things hard sometimes because I see that old thing that I used to watch back there. That her salvation never increased. Huh? Has yours increased? What about it? Let's stand. What do we got? Just remember one thing. Salvation is a journey. Have you ever had the journey of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, Brother Dale, I didn't know it. Well, then you don't have it. I can remember what happened back there and where I came from. You never had an experience? That's what, see, falls back on me. People think, well, all you got to do, Brother Dale, you make salvation something hard to do when all you got to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do is just accept Jesus Christ. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, we're not in the journey. And you know what? We prove what we are. See, that's the end of the message. I'm dropped way back because that's the thought that came to me to start a new series on. The end of our journey will prove what we are. Amen. And we'll look back and see where we come from. And see that it's been a journey. And God has been leading us and guiding us. You remember the story about the little boy, you know? Walking behind his daddy in his footsteps. Let's just find our God and walk with Him. Is that anything hard? Let's just find out where our God is real. Is God holding you or are you holding Him? Which one is it? We know for certain we can't hold Him. Is He holding us? Just talking a little plain language. Yeah, but Brother Dale, I have so many problems. Agreed. We all do. But now 40 years ago, did I have the same problem? Now we're getting in a different place. Right? Well, Brother Dale, I just thought, well, what about 40 years? Well, I had problems then too. Well, I think it's about time to find out whether we're real and what's going on. Go ahead, brother. What we got?
Let's sing Power in the Blood.
Yeah. Anybody have a need? Just believe it. In the blood, power in the blood, there is wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power. In the blood. See, it's just believing it. Father.
And that's got to travel. Anna Gailey will be traveling this week.
Remember, Sister Anna, Sister Anna, not our Anna, Zach's girlfriend, she'd be traveling. So it's on her job and things, so let's pray that everything will be all right. Father, we send this prayer clause to our sister that everything will be okay. She'll have a safe journey and go there and back. It'll all be finished because we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is power, power. Anybody else that has a need? The blood. All right, let's just ask God to take care of the problem, all right? And believe him, okay? Lord Jesus, our little buddy, he's got some problems in his life. He needs your help. And Father, he fights and everything else too much. Instead of just yielding himself and letting you live in his life, we ask you to just take away all of these things, these demons of lying and things. We just condemn it under the blood of Jesus Christ and believe it, that you'll take care of all things. Set our little buddy free from these things. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Okay. Power. Anybody else that have a need? Father, there is power. Remember Brother Aaron this Wednesday and pray that the Lord would direct him. Remember now this coming Saturday will be the Bible study, 6:00. Come and be with us. We have a good time discussing the Word of God. And that way with all the sisters and the brothers, everybody together, we just sit around and talk and have a good time. And we enjoy it. Been doing it for quite a while. Brother Ernie Villanueva is on his way pretty quick to the Philippines to be there a few days. And he called me yesterday and asked us to just pray for him, that everything would be all right. You know, he's going over to fellowship with the brothers and the meetings and things, and just ask us to pray. He said, Brother Dale said, you got the best group of people in the world to call and ask for prayer. He said, I believe you. I believe y'all are the cream. All right. Well, see, let's just pray and believe that God will take care of him, give him a safe journey. He said, I'm just one of you. I said, well, that's the way we consider you to be, just one of us. Because that's what we are. Father, we thank you for all of your loving and grace unto us. I know that what I've said this evening has not been thrilling, but yet to just talk about you. And Lord, we know you're real. You're not just the thoughts of our imagination or some hopes or point. You're real. We ask you to just be with us. Go home with everybody. Give a safe journey. Be with Wade and them on their journey home and just bless and guide each one. Remember these that are sick. Remember Brother Donnie, Lord, and Brother Dick, our Lord, and all the others. There's many, many sicknesses among us. And we just commit it all to you now and believe in you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.